How are you all? Can you all hear me?
Good.
You know, I love books. Ever since I was little, I would get captivated in these stories, imagining my life through the plots of great heroines. I learned a lot from Anne Shirley's Green Gabled Indignation, the Lily Maid's Quest for Bold Sir Lancelot, Brash and Brazen Becky in Vanity Fair, from the Sisters Bronte to the Bovary. You know, the heroines of literature's past have predicated much of my lens today. And why not? In the immortal words of Lady Macbeth, what's done cannot be undone. Or can it? This could be a story about a boy who spends his days lost in the pages of books, seeking the answers to life's great questions. But the question, do all roads lead home, is only partly answered in the pages of books. There are few instances when I think a movie usurps a book, but The Wizard of Oz is one such movie, and I think it has to do with the music. Today, however, I confess that I am not a big fan of The Wizard of Oz or Dorothy's redemptive quest back to Kansas. If anything, I find it all rather schmaltzy and a bit mealy-mouthed. Maybe the scarecrow is wise, the tin man has heart, and there's a quiet courage to the lion, but let's face it, Dottie Gale is no Scarlett O'Hara. However, Oz does have the Wicked Witch, who has become the heir apparent in a delightfully tragic and long line of wickedly condemned. It all begins somewhere over the rainbow. Is Oz really a heaven-like parallel that Dorothy sings about? Can wishing upon a star and waking where the clouds are far be the same as prayer? I mean, if it's good enough for a bluebird beyond the rainbow, could it be good enough for me? Technicolor no doubt made the grass greener, but Dorothy still had to follow the rules. She had to follow the yellow brick road. Our heroine's plot only thickens when our tale is dealt a healthy dose of 70 soul with the whiz. During Home, the Over the Rainbow power ballad, Dorothy is asking yet again to be delivered, this time back to the memory of home. When I think of home, I think of a place where love is overflowing. I wish I were home. I wish I were back there with the things I've been knowing. Dorothy was asking a question that even in my most wild imagination, I could not come to ask myself. My childhood home was not a place where love overflowed. Where was my Glinda? Evidently too busy, coming and going by bubble, to land on my shoulder and offer me some dead woman's shoes. But just like Dorothy, I too hoped that the great and powerful would fix everything. However, Dorothy ends up back in Kansas with three clicks, and I did not want that. That's where the book, the movies, the music all ran stale for me. It wasn't until Wicked, the untold story of the Wicked Witch of the West, that I finally surrendered Dorothy. Suddenly, I understood whose truth I was after, and it was the witch, the Wicked Witch, Elphaba as she is known in Wicked. Just like the heroines of my aforementioned literary cabaret, each bringing a piece to help shape my identity, here was Elphaba. The book is good, but let's face it, the musical is better. And so it goes, through a series of incidents in the musical, Elphaba finds out she gets to meet the wizard with a poptastic ballad, The Wizard and I. And one day he'll say to me, Elphaba, the girl who is so superior, would it be all right by you if I degreenified you? Yes. That's it. It seemed all I wanted was to be fixed too. Not because I was green, not even because I'm gay, but because I felt different. Would you be interested in a little wordplay in the vernacular of Stephen Schwartz? Would it be all right by you if I dequeerify you? If I deblackify you? If I deporify you? It's not so poptastic now, is it? Oh, to be perfect. The perfect son, the perfect boyfriend, the perfect teacher, the perfect body, the perfect voice, perfect, perfect, perfect. What I have not done to be perfect. Alas, it is a truth universally acknowledged that I am not perfect. And I was not popular, and as a child, none of my deeds went unpunished. Get the book and the broom, because like Elphaba, I have felt that for much of my life, people were coming after me with a bucket of water. Have you felt that way too? Who here has felt chased by a bucket? Some even might have been taught a very different Oz. Maybe an Oz that forces you to conform, makes you walk a certain road, wear someone else's shoes, or risk a bucket of water. Nothing like I'm melting to remind you who's boss. In Wicked, the wizard expects Elphaba to be something she is not, to turn her back on what she knows her personal truth is to be, and proclaim the teachings of some megalomaniac. How many have asked the same of you? Elphaba became the conduit the wizard used to spread fear, just like many have used the sins of the flesh to teach fear and damnation. In my quest for perfect, I had spent my life jumping through the wizard's hoop, just like Dorothy, following a road that led back to Kansas. Then one day I finally got it. And like Elphaba, I had to choose, stick with the wizard or defy gravity and fly solo and fly free and proclaim that no wizard that there is or was would ever bring me down. The Wizard of Oz's heroines taught me through varied interpretations and musical numbers that Oz is in many ways flawed like our society. And what the wizard offered was not emerald green. Moreover, what made the witch oh so wicked and what kept Dorothy from returning home was the same. It was fear. Fear is what thrust the bucket of water, and fear kept Dorothy from seeing she could always go back home. She didn't need faith in ruby slippers, a waving wand behind her head, or the need for a wizard. Instead of following the rules of someone else's game, like Elphaba, I chose to take a stand, and that stance has become my life's mission. Call me faggot, call me fat, call this religion fraudulent. You can even call me wicked. Like Elphaba, that's my new creed. My road of good intentions led where all roads always lead, and it is the wizard who should be afraid of me. Every Sunday, our children are taught to take a stand for what they believe in. We take a stand when we affirm inherent worth and dignity, when we are kind in all we do, when we help each other to learn. We take a stand when we teach what is true, when we give a vote, when we work for peace and justice, and when we stand up for our earth sacred. Just like Elphaba, the lesson is all about the road. So what about that road? It just so happens that instead of an emerald city, my road led here, to a new city. No, not the city of brotherly love, though I am glad it did, but a bigger city, one overflowing with love. The journey I was on, actually the journey I'm still on, continues to lead me here, to Unitarian Universalism. Here, waiting for me is a community that empowers a greater lesson. Here, I don't need a wizard. Welcome to a place where children are taught that some people believe in God the Father and some people don't, and that is okay. That Jesus is a wonderful friend and teacher and prophet, but not the Messiah. And that salvation does not come from a bucket of water being thrust upon us, but looking deeply at how we love and discovering that we are called to affirm and promote the good in those whom are deemed by some as wicked. Maybe some people make wicked choices, but we are all worthy of universal love. My beloved seekers of faith, come out of the woods, come out of the dark, and step into the light. This is a place of light and truth and love. Now is the time, a time to look past the wizard and affirm that something has changed within you. Believe in a love immanent. I invite you to affirm your journey home as we have affirmed our children and our teachers today. Regardless of whether you find home in books, in music, or in movies, home is Unitarianism's one love and Universalism's one heart. Home is when you stop chasing rainbows and start easing on down the road. Welcome home to a road paved in a new yellow. the glowing light of a flaming chalice that shines so bright that nothing can melt us. Our road leads home. Welcome home. Amen.